See what love the Father has given us, that we shall be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Grateful to my sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word to your church. We thank you for your word to modern day disciples, of which you call us to be. Keep us open now to receive your grace and love. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. There are certain people that are very excited right now. Filled with joy, in fact. And it's because of this one truth. A video game is about to be released. Not just any video game, Madden 10. Anybody out there play Madden? Familiar with Madden? Okay, you don't want to raise your hands right now, but I can see who you are. You're loving it. Yeah, Madden 10 is going to be released here very soon. In fact, there is such a culture that has developed around this particular video game. It's a football game, pro football, and you run a particular team, and you're the players. Anybody heard of pro football? But the NFL? Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to make sure you're with me there. Some of you are going, huh? And you run these teams, and you're the players, and there's actually such a culture that has developed around this that they have a tournament. They actually have a tournament. And the two finalists go to Times Square, New York City, and they play the championship game on the big screen, you know, in Times Square. They're standing there playing a video game. I'm not making this up. And they play this, and the winner gets $50,000. I know you folks are going to go out and start, JP's saying to Phyllis, I'm going to go out and practice and get it today. Start working on it. There's still time. You can do it. The thing that struck me, though, is concerning the two players that are on the cover, because each year there is a particular pro football player that's on the cover of this video game. Oftentimes, then, that pro football player doesn't have a good year. They call it the jinx, the cover jinx. But the two players that are going to be on it this year are Larry Fitzgerald and Troy Polamalu. They're going to have two players this year. And they were interviewing Larry Fitzgerald. And the quote that really struck me that he shared about this and about the jinx and everything like that is this. This is powerful. His quote to the interviewer was, now he's on the front of this video game, he's a star, he's one of the best players in the league. This was what he wanted to share during this interview. Me and Troy are firm believers in the Lord. Did you get that? Me and Troy, the other player, are firm believers in the Lord. What a wonderful time to be able to witness and to be able to share about one's faith. I was struck by that because the scripture passage today points to what we are called to be as the church. I was thinking about the hymn that we sang, the last hymn that we sang in particular, and the one verse, verse 3, though with a scornful wonder we see her sore oppressed, the church, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up, how long? And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. It's talking about struggles in the church. If we think that struggles in the church are new, we are sorely mistaken. Struggles have begun right from the very beginning. In fact, this particular scripture passage is speaking about a division in the church already. It's addressing that. The scripture says, see what love the Father has given us. Starts out with God. Starts out with God's love. That's a good place to start. Anytime, but especially whenever we're dealing with struggles personally and in the church. That we should be called children of God. We belong to God. We're part of His. We're kin, related, one to another. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. These are very similar words to what Jesus spoke in the 14th chapter of John as He's starting to prepare the disciples for life without Him, in the flesh, I should say. And in fact, they're words that oftentimes we speak at services of death and resurrection because of the power of resurrection here and now. Not just in those ceremonies, but here and now, each and every day, each and every breath that we take, every move that we make, God is to be glorified. Now, is that possible in everything that we do, in everything that we say to glorify God, to be a representative of things eternal, to point towards heaven? Some of you are awfully close, okay? I mean, you're this close to perfection. I want to tell you, I don't want to tell you who, because I want you to keep working at it. But generally, it's a very difficult thing. For us, it's ongoing. And the words of Scripture remind us that this is a journey of which we need to continue to be open to God, putting Him first, and then witnessing to our faith. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, children of God, that is, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. for us in God's church today. It is more important now than ever to point towards righteousness in our lives. Righteousness is not something that we often talk about, something that's necessarily brought up in conversation. You don't start out by saying to someone, well, how have you been righteous today? How have you shown righteousness? You might say, you're a righteous dude, but you might not say it any other way. For us, righteousness points to being lined up with God. Righteousness means doing the right things. Righteousness means making decisions that aren't just based on our own self-gratification, but rather based on something larger, on building God's kingdom. Does that make sense? When we talk about righteousness, that's indeed what we're talking about. And that's what the church should be about. When the church basically becomes a club where gossip is prevalent and pettiness rules the day, then we're out of God's grace. We're out of God's will. We have moved so far away from God that we need to, first of all, get back on our knees and pray and humble ourselves and open ourselves to what God would have to do in our midst and in our lives. The scripture points to the fact that there is a whole dramatic kind of change that happens in the lives of Easter people. Easter people, you see, do encounter one another in different ways. Easter people do love in a more extravagant way, are more willing to be vulnerable with one another, are more willing to encourage, and are more willing to look past faults to try to see the presence of God in someone rather than to try to build up a wall. It's different, isn't it? It's different than the world would slam against us, than how the world says we're supposed to act. Hold grudges. Keep score. Don't forgive. Look about how you can get back at someone. All of those things are the opposite of what God's church is called to be. Born of him. That was mentioned in the scripture passage. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel, as children of God, saw themselves, embraced themselves in that role. They saw themselves as adopted by God in a sacred covenant, and they also sought to live as children as well. Being a child of God means you look at yourself in a different way. And you look at others in a different way as well. I want you to go ahead and look at somebody right now. Go ahead and look at somebody right now. If it's somebody next to you, that's fine. I'd rather not you just all stare at me. I'd rather you go ahead and look at I know some of you are going like this. Okay, what's he going to do? Go ahead and look at somebody else. Notice the person next to you. Do you see a child of God there? Do you see kind of a glow? Watch it. What? If we can see that in one another, then the world can see it as well. But it's an ongoing effort. And it starts first with us recognizing that title in our own lives. I am a child of God. That means I am called to live in a certain way. That means I'm called to speak in a certain way. That means I'm called to share love in a certain way as well. In the culture that the early church existed, religion or being religious didn't necessarily include matters of behavior or ethics. Religion and being religious meant paying homage to certain gods so they would do what you wanted them to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Paying homage, worshiping to certain gods so that they would do what you wanted. Saying, boy, I really need this to happen. You go ahead and make a sacrifice. Hopefully it'll happen. Hopefully it'll take place. Children of God don't look at it in that way. We worship God, and we pay homage to God and say, Lord, thy will be done. Not just what I want, not just do what I want, please, pretty please, God, but what you want, because your path is always going to be better. That kind of makes it clear, doesn't it? How we slam up against the world often today. Because there are a lot of gods in the world today that people pay homage to. Countless gods that people pay homage to, coming before them saying, please do this for me. Please take care of this. This is what I need. I worship you. I put you first in my life. I give you my time and my effort. I pour out myself before you. And all the time when people are doing that to these other gods, small g, God, big G, is just waiting with his love and his grace. Did you hear that? God with a big G, the God, the only God, our Heavenly Father, is waiting with his love and grace to meet the needs that we really have. After we turn away from the small gods, after we turn away from pursuing things and chasing after things that will never sustain us, God is waiting there with open arms, just like the Father in the story of the prodigal son, waiting to receive us back and embrace us and love us and celebrate that we've come to our senses. It's a wonderful image, isn't it? It's a wonderful hope that even when churches struggle within themselves, God can still bring healing. Regretfully, that continues to be a theme in the history of the church. And yet, if we trust just enough and are vulnerable in just a small way and humble ourselves before God and always keep God first, do you think we can do that, church? Always keep God first? Do you think we can do that, church? Always keep God first? Do you think we can do that, church? Always keep God first? I think so too. And if we keep God first, then our priorities are going to be healthier. If we keep God first and are in his word and read it and then just soak it in and allow it to minister to us and just be with God through his word, then what we are in the world is truly his children. Because we receive that direction from the Heavenly Father, and we are his children living in his world, sharing his love, being channels of his grace. Doesn't that sound good? Isn't that a much better way to live? Much less stress. We're not carrying along the baggage anymore. We're not keeping secret the brokenness. We lay it all before God, and then allow him to work in us, remind us that we belong to him. How is God going to call you to share a witness of faith? Today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year? It may not be on national TV. You may not be a sports celebrity interviewed about being on a video game. But how is God going ask you to share your faith, to witness. In our time of discipleship this morning, I'd like you to think about that question. You know that you are His children. And as you hear the music play, you'll be able to think about some of these things. You can close your eyes. You can just simply be open to God. If you'd like to take the posture of opening up your hands, that's basically what that means. Lord, I'm open to You. It's not about me. I don't have any more walls up, Lord. It's about You. Open yourself to Him. And think about God being there, ready to embrace you in His love. Think about how you would share with Him as you hear the music play. And just take a few moments. Maybe there's something that God has been churning in your life, actually, for you to be able to share. Or maybe there is someone that you've been wanting to share. God's put you on them, put them on your heart. So God wants you to be able to share with them in just some way, a way of love. Be open to God's guidance right now and how He's moving in your life. You're His child, and He loves you more than you can imagine.